think I'm on. Yes. So do you know this story of the Good Samaritan? Sort of, kind of. If it feels like it would be helpful to you, I invite you to open up your Bibles. I know we Methodists don't always do that, but sometimes it can be a good thing just to review it as I'm talking today, if you just kind of want to look down. It's Luke 10, and it's 25 through 37. So we've been going over some of the stories, traveling through Luke and hearing some of these stories of Jesus, some of which we know really well and some of which we don't know so well and some of which may be very confusing to us. So this is a very familiar one to most of us. And everyone, frankly, has some sort of story about a Good Samaritan. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of a Good Samaritan. Maybe you've been the one doing the good work. Do-gooders everywhere are sort of fondly referred to as Good Samaritans. They're the ones that take time out of their own busy lives to stop, to see, to stop, and to have compassion and to act on that. Hospitals, like the one in Downers Grove, I used to call it Good Sam Hospital when I was ministering out there in the western suburbs, rightly use the title in their name. The Bible story itself is known well, so well, in fact, that politicians sometimes refer to us when they're trying to nudge us to do good. President George Bush referred to it in his first inaugural address. He said, "I can pledge our nation to a goal. When we see that wounded traveler on the road to Jericho, we will not pass by on the other side." You never know when you're going to meet someone who is a neighbor, someone who needs assistance, what kind of mercy you might receive. When I was 20, I worked for a summer in West Virginia. Some of you know I worked for two summers there, actually, doing home repair ministry with Appalachia Service Project. And at the end of that second summer, I drove home in time to be ready for my junior year of college. I was, at the time, the proud owner of a 1971 Chevy Chevelle. Maybe some of you know that car or drove that car. It was a gift from my grandfather. This was 1991, of course, so it was 20 years old already, so the gift was not quite as extravagant as one might think. But I was very grateful for it, nonetheless. And the day I drove home, I must have been in the car 7 hours or so, just coming off this pretty difficult summer of hard work and manual labor and lots of emotional labor. And about the last hour and a half leg of my trip, I was driving along this country two-lane road in Alabama and felt this big scraping noise underneath the car, sort of like, it sounded to me like the entire engine had just sort of fallen out. And I sensed that I probably shouldn't go much further. So I pulled over to the side of the road and I just sort of sat there for a minute trying to figure out what to do. I could smell something that didn't seem like a good smell. It was sort of asphalt and metal and heat rubbed together there. And I was kind of in the middle of nowhere. And I glanced up and there was this big field and a house and there was this man who looked to perhaps be a farmer in the field, and he was looking over at me like, why is this lady just hanging out there in my field or by the side of my field? And I remember thinking to myself, this man is either going to kill me or he's going to help me, but I can't just sit here in my car any longer. I remember this is way before cell phones too, of course, right? So when I looked up again, he wasn't there, and I got out of my car and made my way over to the house, and a woman opened the door, and I explained my situation and what was going on. And the man was there, too. He had walked in the house, and they let me use their phone. It was the kind that was attached with a cord to the wall. And I called my parents, and as I was talking to them, you know, I heard my mom's voice, and tears of relief and exhaustion are rolling down my face. And the man and the woman fed me Dr. Pepper and some of those combos. Remember those pretzel things that were filled with cheese that were all the rage some years ago? And to this day, the compassion and mercy of God sort of tastes like salty tears mixed with combos and Dr. Pepper. Because they showed mercy to me. Now, I am not recommending that you go up to any stranger and ask for help. I did make that clear to the youth in our early service, like that you need to be cautious about that. But God's mercy does come to us in ways we don't expect, doesn't it? and from the very people we may have been taught to be cautious about, or that we even rightly should be cautious about, even the people we've been taught to ignore or even to hate. Those people might just be our neighbors. You see, back in Jesus' day, there was no such thing, actually, as a good Samaritan. It was an oxymoron. Samaritans and Jews, Samaritans were hated by Jews. Samaritans and Jews were like family members who don't talk to one another anymore. Centuries of insults and provocations, there's a lot of biblical history there that some of you know, had made each group so disgusted with one another that the Jews traveling to Galilee or Judea usually would opt to take a longer route rather than setting foot in Samaria. Here's a map that kind of shows you a little bit. Many of the stories that we hear about Jesus take place up in Galilee or down in Judea, and Samaria, you can see, is right in between there. Jewish folks were not allowed to marry Samaritans. For centuries, Samaritans had worshipped at Mount Gerizim and not at the temple in Jerusalem, which you kind of see there at the bottom of the map. And remember, in the story we hear about the man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, if you can see Jerusalem and then down, it's north, but it's down in terms of elevation to Jericho. And you may remember in the scripture we heard from Luke 9 a few weeks ago, Samaritans were not at all welcoming of Jesus. They did not treat him kindly. So the Greek word for neighbor actually means, you should know, one who is near. So your neighbor is one who is near to you in the pew. You might just take a minute and say hey to your neighbor. Can you say hey, neighbor? Somebody who's near to you, hey, neighbor. For most of us, our neighbors are across the street, right? Living next door, down the block. For those of us who grew up watching Mr. Rogers, or maybe having kids who watch Mr. Rogers, we learned that a neighborhood is much bigger than just our own block. As I remember sitting there and watching that show and him welcoming folks of different ethnic backgrounds that looked different from the people on my block. Many children with special needs were welcomed onto that show. And Fred Rogers had this crazy idea that we could all be neighbors, right? And he certainly made children feel that way. Remember, his mantra was, "Won't you be my neighbor?" Our Bible story today also might be called the good lawyer. When Steve read that, he was great about the way he read the lawyer question, because good lawyers ask good questions, right? Some of you who are teachers also know that you have some budding lawyers perhaps in your classroom. It's like the student on the first day of class that wants to know, exactly what do I need to do to get an A, right, or a B, or a C, or a passing grade? The lawyer's question is kind of like that. So after hearing that the way to eternal life is by keeping the commandments, and you know these. Remember we heard last week when Jesus said something over and over again, it's worth paying attention to. So the lawyer, Jesus responds and says, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. After hearing that, though, the lawyer has one more question. But who? Who is my neighbor? He asks. And we should hear just a little biblical insight here. In Deuteronomy, which is where these commandments, the first commandment comes from, a neighbor was a member of the tribe of Israel or a resident alien. In other words, the lawyer wants to know, just how far do we have to go with this neighbor business? And Jesus, as usual, tells a story. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is a picture of the road today, actually, and there probably weren't those trucks on it years ago when Jesus was telling the story, but just listen to the story again as you see that image. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And then there's three people involved. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, person number three, was traveling with him. and came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. And he went to him and he bandaged his wounds and he poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever you spend." It's not always easy to be a neighbor. Our family has moved around quite a lot, and it's just been the luck of the draw that we've had some really good neighbors. Maybe I hope that you have as well. And we've had some kind of bad neighbors, frankly. The ones with dogs have been the worst, because for some reason it's just been our luck that all of those dogs have been barkers, sometimes at 3 a.m. in the morning. But the good neighbors have been the kind that you could run over to, right, and knock on the door and get a cup of sugar or an egg, who would run over to help you jumpstart your car or watch the kids. And Jesus asked the man, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell?" "The one who showed him mercy," came the reply. And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Scholar Amy Jill Levine reminds us that this story can be translated 1,000 different ways, and maybe you're hearing some of these stories in your mind and thinking a little bit about what it means to be a neighbor. Who is my neighbor is a question that we can ask as well. The man next door who drives me crazy because he's always working on his car in the driveway and playing music. Children and families at the borders, people who believe differently than me about immigration reform. That's been in the news this weekend. Folks who vote differently from me. Who is my neighbor? People sitting right here in Trinity who were born in another country. The folks down the street at faithful churches who may not welcome a woman pastor like Trinity does. People who believe differently from me about whether or not we should ordain gay and lesbian folk in our church. The folks down in Tennessee where our youth are going who have a very different accent from me, which may sound funny to my ears. Who is my neighbor? In the end, as the story goes, it is the Samaritan, the one who is hated and feared, who's misunderstood, who does not pass by. It's the Samaritan who sees and stops and has compassion. There's a word, the Greek word for compassion is too hard for me to pronounce, but what it means is this. It means to yearn in the bowels, to feel it in your gut. Luke uses the word 3 times in the gospel. One is this one. One is to describe, remember, the story of the father of the prodigal son when he runs out to greet his son and he's filled with compassion. And another to describe Jesus. Who is my neighbor? The answer from Jesus turns everything we know upside down. A neighbor is one who shows mercy, regardless of whatever category we want to put him in. A neighbor is one who does not pass by. A neighbor is one who sees and acts and has compassion. A neighbor is one who gives us a glimpse of the kingdom of God in all of its beautiful diversity. I've seen this sign. Maybe you've even seen it if you've been traveling this summer outside of a few churches. It's hard to see all of it, but I think it reminds us of our call to see people as God sees them. And who knows, we might receive mercy from one who we've labeled previously. Love thy neighbor, it says, and no exceptions on the sidebar there. Thy homeless neighbor, thy gay neighbor, thy Muslim neighbor, thy black neighbor, thy immigrant neighbor, thy Jewish neighbor, thy addicted neighbor, thy Christian neighbor, thy atheist neighbor, thy disabled neighbor. We don't hear the lawyer's response to Jesus' suggestion to go and do likewise, but those words echo down to us today, I believe. Whether we're headed to Tennessee like our youth and adults, or talking to our neighbor across the street, or looking around here at Trinity, or thinking about who our neighbors are beyond these walls. Go and do likewise, Jesus said. Go and show mercy. May it be so, for the sake of our own souls, for the sake of our church community, and for the sake of all God's children. Amen.